December 17, 2018, it's the Lot from Pedro Show.
Thank you.
Lot from Pedro show. Happy Monday, trippy day, but it's kind of a makeup day. I'll see Brother Matt Thursday. God, it's my... I turned 61 Thursday. I'm going to talk to my Rambo. Yeah, you heard my guess. I'm not all the way in man alone mode here. My bad. Because the wonders of those engineers in Estonia came up with the Skype stuff. I got Junior Rachel from Ulan. Welcome aboard.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, no very problem. Excited. We started off with John Coltrane doing My Ideal, and then two can keep a secret from wooing. So who wants to talk about their musical journey first?
I'll go first.
Yeah.
Okay, Rachel. Rachel, what's your earliest musical recollection?
Oh, would probably just be playing Name That Tune in the car to the oldies with my parents growing up in Seattle.
You mean come on over the car radio?
Yeah, we used to listen to the oldies and classic rock and stuff, and my dad would love like playing the first few seconds and seeing if I could guess who it was. So we've always been like huge music lovers.
And yeah, did they have a big record collection?
Yeah, we've always had a big record collection. Never like kept the nicest. I feel like it's kind of always been like just we've moved a lot. So
okay.
As an adult, I've tried to keep mine like pretty in a good situation.
what about were they listeners or did they make music? Was there instruments in the house?
Yeah, my dad's a musician and my parents met at an open mic in the 80s in New York, and I joined our family band at age 6, and that's how I started playing music.
What's your pop play?
So that's kind of... Say that again?
What did your pop play?
Oh, he played guitar and keyboards.
Okay, yeah. So there's a guitar laying around the house, there's keyboard. Did you get on these young?
Yeah, we had a piano growing up, too, before we moved to New York, and I used to, like, write little fun songs on it as a kid about, like, doing the dishes and just really silly stuff like that.
Well, they bring you into the band when you're 6 years old, right?
Yep.
What were you playing?
I started off on harmonica for, like, a few shows, and then started on drums pretty soon after that.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great, kind of like a vaudeville tradition. What about at school? What about at school? Were you in like the band, marching band, or you know, I don't know, choir, stuff like that? Did you do any music at school?
No.
She was on the road.
I was touring.
Homeschool?
Yeah, I ended up being homeschooled, which they kind of called it road schooling because we were traveling so much.
No, but I ask people about this because, you know, they cut a lot of music programs out of the school, so I'm always curious. But, of course, you are getting this, your parents being musicians, you're getting right there kind of trade. What was his name? Steve Droz from Flamin' Lips told me he was playing drums for his pop's country band when he was 6.
Wow.
Pretty amazing. You know, can you remember the first record you bought yourself?
Oh, it probably would have been a record by Quasi. Band.
Janet Weiss.
Do you know them? Yes. Yeah, she was one of the biggest inspirations for me to be a drummer. My dad had seen them play and was like, Rachel could do this. Obviously not.
Yeah,
level.
I think she was from... I think she was from Hollywood originally and then went up to Olympia. Great drummer.
Yeah, she's incredible. She's a huge, huge inspiration. And Sam Coombs' lyrics and just overall, that's been one of my favorite bands since I was a kid.
Yeah, she played organ, right?
Yeah.
Okay, what about the first gig you went and saw?
I saw the Presidents of the United States of America play as a tiny, tiny baby. And I have a picture of me, like, backstage with them because my parents were friends with Chris. And Yeah, so that's, I think that was my first, like, concert. I was definitely at, like, open mics and, like, little coffee shop shows as a little one for sure before that.
Yeah, one of them played a funny guitar, right, with, like, two strings or something.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm trying to remember.
Three strings or something really minimal.
I remember them guys. There was actually President of the United States band in New York City where the first time the Minutemen played by themselves at Folk City West, but much different than this other. I think we were both on Columbia at some time in the 90s, those guys. I want to play this Could Have Been. Is that okay?
Wait, yeah.
Here we go.
When I knew that you went to hell, I'm a shy girl. My mother calls me a flat chest. I'm a heavy boy. My father calls me a fat head. I'm a small guy. My friends call me an armrest. I'm a big girl. The boys call me a waterbed. I love all of me. I love all of me. I love all of me. I just wanna be. I'm a yellow girl. You choose to call me slanted eyes. I'm a white boy who fights for his roots and ties. I'm a red woman who cries over her child's hunger. I'm a black man who's come to terms with his anger. I love all of me. I love all of me. I love all of me. I just wanna be. I'm a nomad who writes his words in sand. I'm an aborigine who wishes to save his clan. I'm all people who cry for their land. People of the world walking hand in hand. I love all of me. I love all of me. I love all of me. We just wanna be. Live and let live. Live and let live. Live and let live. Live and let live. Phew. The cross we carry is so heavy. I want to sit down for a second. Do you mind? Not lie down. Just sit down. Not too long. Just so long. Hey, I got an idea. Can't we just burn the crosses instead of people? I happen to think that's healthy and it's not blasphemy. So brush your wings, shine your rings. Are you ready? And we can sing. I love all of me. I love all of me. We love all of us. We just wanna be. I love all of me. I love all of me. We love all of us. We just wanna be.
So far away.
Why for Pedro show, we heard Could Have Been from Wooin. And Little Creeper from Bullets or Balloons. I think they're Spokanistan. In the east part of Washington State. Maya and the Revolutionary Hell, yeah, with the Fever live. That's up in the city. God, it was last year I played there, Ramona's Bottom of the Hill, for my 60 B-Day, and they shared the stage with us. Guided by Voices after that with Arc Technician. Yes, another new record. It's only a 7-inch, I think, but still, Bob Pollard, every other week, man, this guy. And Phil Spector's out of Oklahoma City with Monsterosaurus. That's a trippy name. Dietrich and Barnes. That's John Dietrich from Deerhoof with Jeremy Barnes doing Sales Tan Part 2. Sales Tan. Still Houseplants out of Glasgow with Afterward. King Champion Sounds. Holland. Ombur. Burva Sva. That might be Hindi or Sanskrit or something. Yoko Ono. I Love All of Me. And finally, Cap Gun Coup with Big Forklift for My Soul, Baby. Okay. Junior, let's go with you. What's your earliest music recollection?
I think when Thriller dropped, my parents listened to it a lot.
So Mike Jackson. A lot
of Thriller, yeah, that was pretty great.
Yeah, I remember I wrote a song and sent it to his manager when that record came out. And I called it.
Oh, you mean a
political song for Mike Jackson to sing. Yeah. And I never got word back. Because I thought if Mike Jackson sang this song, the Minutemen would never have to explain themselves again. People would know exactly what we were trying to do. I never got word back. Okay, so Thriller, okay. Like middle 80s. Yeah, it was right around when we were recording Double Nickels on the Dime. Okay, yeah, so what about your parents? Were they musicians?
Yeah, my mom played piano, my dad guitar, and they did a lot of kind of pop, top 40 covers, Holiday Inn kind of gigs, you know, in the 80s.
So in the living room you had instruments?
Yeah, you know, but I didn't really think it was cool to play guitar really until I guess I started listening to like Nirvana, things like that. I thought, hey, I want to play, you know, riffs. So I started to play riffs and doing high school bands. You were rock band.
You mean after school, like in the garage or bedroom?
That's right. That's right. You know, I mean, it was cool because my parents had my dad. Like at some point, he just decided he wanted to get back into music.
Yeah.
Maybe you call that a crisis or something, but he definitely like got really
into it. Anything creative, I think, is better. You know. It's lame to call it a crisis. You get motivated to do anything, especially you get into the middle act. think it's okay. You know, my whole third opera is about being a middle-aged punk rocker. You should check that out. It's called Hyphenated Man. But what about in school? Not outside of school, but in school. Were you part of the marching band or the jazz band or some choir or shit like that?
I'll tell you, I lobbied with I got a bunch of my friends together so we could get the critical mass signatures to get a music theory class in high school.
Wow.
And I took that. I took it for a year, but the band leader, that's a story, but he was doing some things he shouldn't have been doing, but he ended up kind of blowing the class off about halfway through the year. But I did learn a little bit, you know, about some scales.
It was kind of like harmony, right?
Yeah, just the basics of it, but it was cool to just have a project.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. It's either that or the Mel Bay or Alfred's. What are those books, right? The guitar, how to play Jingle Bells on a fucking acoustic guitar.
Yeah, I had a Mel Bay book for the
Mel Bay. Okay. What are the names of some of these bands that you did after school and shit?
I'm sorry, one more time?
Name of some of these bands you had with your buddies after school.
So in high school it was called Socially Retarded.
But yeah.
You know, we didn't fit in. We sat at the table by ourselves, you know. And then, I started touring in like little punk bands. I played for this guy R. Stevie Moore for a long time.
I think originally Nashville.
He's a Nashville guy. He's back there.
He went back. Right. His father was a famous musician.
Yeah,
yeah, I've actually collaborated with him on a few songs.
Yeah?
Yeah, something called The Witches of the West. It was put together by this great French guy named Regis.
Reggie, yeah.
You know Regis, okay. This guy's great. Yes, they live in Toulon.
They're in Nice. Well, we played in Nice with them. One time we did a show
Nice
with
them. It's on the coast there, but they're like the big French Navy base in Toulon. And that's where he lives.
Okay.
Yeah, and I've contacted his pad. He's a great cat. In fact, I'm gonna do a piece with three of my trios, along with them, as a tribute to Glenn Branca. So,
it's a small world.
It's a small world. Yeah, because we just works with kind of the art world and galleries, and he's always getting some kind of multimedia collaborations. He's a very creative guy, man. I have huge respect for him. What was the? Can you remember the first record you bought yourself?
Yeah, I got the Bat Dance soundtrack that Prince did. When I was 9 years old.
Sure. And what about first gig?
Nirvana on the In Utero tour when I was 13.
Okay. That was big pads, right? I think I saw him at the Forum here.
Yeah.
It was so strange, you know. It was so strange looking up, you know, because Pat's from the Germs, you know. he's in the movement longer than we were, I mean. And so I'm looking over, I'm seeing Pat, and, you know, he's playing the Forum, you know, and he's digging it. Then I look over to the other side, and it's Kurt, and it was like he did not want to be there. He was totally bummed out.
I got a good show. I got a good show. They were really into it.
No, it was a good show. It was a good show. I could just see two sides of this coin, though. You know, I didn't know how serious stuff was or anything. Sweet little guy, man. Miss him much. So you ended up a backup musician for R. Stevie Moore.
Yeah.
So
I had my own band, Tropical Ooze. And so I was just such a big fan of him. And a friend of a friend was, I was just really into R. Stevie Moore because he's just such an original dude and so talented. And just real musicians. And so my friend, because he was in Jersey, which is not very far from New York, obviously. And so my friend started trying to make a documentary about him.
I might have done some interview for that. There was a couple documentaries. Yeah, my memory sometimes, so... But
I think that sounds right. That sounds right that he talked to you.
Okay. Big love to R. Stevie Moore. Big inspiration.
Yeah, sure.
But let's how did Wooing get together?
Well, big love to R. Stevie Moore. He was kind of the one who brought us together.
Please explain.
Yeah. I was a big fan of Arcee's, and I played him on a radio show that I did for several years, and he, like, I guess gets Google Alerts for his thing, and, like, messaged me and my other co-host, and we just started talking to him on Facebook, and I started singing backup vocals for Arcee when he would come to New York and play tambourine and just kind of dance around on stage, and that's how I met JR.
Yeah. Rachel's got a really great presence live, you know, the, there's a lot of people who can play or do things, but just some people seem very comfortable, and they just, you like to watch them on stage, and so later on when she was doing her own thing, I said, I'll play guitar with you, that would be really cool. And then Stevie, you know, he kind of retired a little bit. It was too much of a drag for him, you know, the pain of being on the road all the time.
Yeah.
For his body. It can be hard, you know, the van and sleeping in cars or whatever the fuck we would have to do, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you say you were looking at her on stage, but you were on stage too, JR, right?
Yeah, but then, well, so first.
No, I know what you mean. It used to be that way with the Minutemen. I'd be watching D. Boone as much as the dudes in the crowd, the gig goers, because he was D. Boone was a real
guest, you know, on some of these shows. So I was like, oh, okay, like this is what she's, because sometimes Stevie would invite like 10 people on stage, and it would just be like
the band wouldn't really know what was going on each night, so it'd be a different thing.
He'd say, JR, you're gonna hate me, but I've got three guitarists here that are gonna play tonight, and some of them didn't even know the song, so it was just a free for all. But she was on stage, and I thought, well, you know, she's all right, this is cool. So then I went to go see her play in another band, and she was playing drums.
Okay.
And there were three dudes up front, kind of blocking the view, but, like, she was the cool one. She was the one that, like, felt really comfortable on stage.
What was the name of that band?
I don't know. That was so long ago. But I've just played in different projects and stuff. And, yeah, it was for a while I was in, like, five different bands at once playing drums, just, like, doing different things. And through that, I was kind of just like, I need to find my own voice and find my own musical, like, place. And that's, like, when I ran into JR, and he's like, if you ever need a guitarist? And I thought, like, he was kind of kidding, because in a way, like, I'd always thought he was the most, like, creatively talented and unique, like, such a badass, incredible guitarist. And when he said that, I was like, what? Like, are you kidding? So to be able to play music together, like, was just an extreme dream that came true. It's pretty cool.
We hit it off, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes how do you get drums around in New York City?
Cool.
That's why I started playing ukulele. I went from drums to ukulele.
You know, yeah, it's kind of like Europe, right, or Japan with the live houses. The stuff's already there, backline or something. Yeah. I've always wondered about that, you know, because you can't bring that shit on the train or cab.
No, you have to rely on house kits.
Yeah. So you probably get very adaptive. And okay, tell me about the first wooing prac.
Oh, yeah. Well, that would have been in your bedroom, probably, right?
Yeah.
Can we just...
And did you come up with a name right away?
No.
No, it was still under my first and last name for a while.
Okay.
And wooing kind of just came up naturally when I was trying to think of cool band names, because I was sick of being like, come to my show, Rachel Trachtenberg, and like having to say that over and over again. I really craved, like, having a band and that kind of feel.
Sure.
But, yeah, so it started off, we, like, even had an upright bassist for one show. Like, we kind of were just trying out different things.
You guys were the core, right? And then you were putting things.
Yes.
Trying to get the project its own voice, right, by experimenting. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Tell me about the first gig.
What's the first gig?
I don't think we remember.
I'm asking all the hard questions.
Yeah. Get these brains going.
It's weird because, you know, it changed so much. It was very casual, like open mic kinds of. Was it maybe the church thing? Did we do the church thing first? You know, like the New Year's?
Oh.
I think it was.
It could have been. Yeah. On New Year's Day, they do, at the St. Mark's Church, they do like a marathon of like music and poetry and stuff. And always, like, amazing, cool, old-school New Yorkers, with, like, Patti Smith will show
Thirsty
up.
And more,
yeah, it's really amazing. And it goes from, like, 8 a.m. till, what, like, it's a full-day thing. So that might have been our first show, which I think maybe just the two of us doing that.
Yeah, I think it was just the two of us, and I was just playing guitar. And, yeah, it was whatever.
But that's probably your first batch of songs.
Yeah. Yeah, I had, like, some songs that I had just written, like, some of the first songs I've ever written by myself, and JR would kind of just re-approach it with me and add his own taste to it, and that's where it started.
Interesting.
It was like, the songs didn't have, like, the normal forms, you know, like I would just look at her.
I hate that word, normal. That scares me, that word, normal.
No, you know, it's kind of cool, like, loosen it up to be more like Beefheart or something, you know? Like
God, I hear that word normal, and it's like, man, the hairs go up on the back of my neck. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, December 17th, 2018 edition. Watch for Pedro Show. Hold tight for hour two. December 17th, 2018. It's the second hour of the Watch for Pedro Show.
fault. Hardy, my peace, my boy, here they are.
Take a look at the track for a moment, please. You will see 80 fast women in the nighttime with ease, going around in a frenzy, a high-speed race on skates, a whirling of colors all around the place. From the bleachers there like burrs, all the way down to in your face. Every view is great and the action continues. The black and red and gold make a deadly scene, and superheroes appear in silver and green. The black and white show a power approach, and the pink and brown team wins the party scene. The play is for real, and you know the score. You're getting the best of Derby and a whole lot more. And the trophy leg will keep changing hands, because we've got the best war teams, all of total parity, playing and winning in spirit, if not actual victory. It is what brings it on and tells the tale. The MRD role in women's attitude. Watch out as she takes the track.
Hey!
Watch for Pedro show. We started the second hour off with Inner Head from Lewin. Rachel, you want to say something about that song?
Yeah, it's one of our longest recorded songs right now. Not one of our longest songs, though. And it's really fun. It's kind of spooky. And it was inspired by season one of Stranger Things.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Kind of just like went on a writer's character and like the idea of like walking through your own like brain and your memories and stuff and like visually the idea of like stepping inside your own head in a way and like not letting other weird spirits grab on. Wow. So that's where those lyrics come from.
Okay. In her head.
Yeah,
so Winona Ryder's head.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. That's great. After that we had Dragon Blue, Tokyo with Metabolic Love Sphere, Joe Brewer out of Madison with those four teams, and finally a big Prague outing from Dublin. Yurt with Zurich Ascension. And the drummer man there, Bushy, told me, yeah, the bass guy likes to write about dystopian futures. That's interesting. And we both really liked the John Coltrane album that they found. That's when I talked to him last. So, This new record you did, this EP,
mm-hmm.
Where'd you record it?
Oh, what was it? In a couple of different places, right?
Seaside.
Yes, Seaside is maybe the name of the studio where we did the main amount of tracking.
Dr.
Wu's was another.
Dr. Wu, Steely Dan. There's a Steely Dan song called Dr. Wu.
Is it Countdown, or is it Katie Lied? I think it's Countdown.
I think it's Katie Lied.
Okay.
So, indeed, like Jeff Porcaro, I think, did most of the drums on that. Countdown is the second one, right? I think that's got a lot of...
Yes. Can't Buy a Thrill.
Can't Buy a Thrill's first one. George Hurley was way into the Dan. We used to have to hear that shit. he got out of it by Gaucho. We didn't have to hear Gaucho, but the ones... Yeah, Asia and Royal Scam. Actually, there's some fucking trippy words and intense playing, so I don't want to get... You know what really bugged me is, like, every sound check, they had to use Babylon Sisters, the sound man. Well, man, drove me out of my mind. So,
yeah,
that's my fault, not the Dan. In fact, we lost last year Walter Becker. I was sad about that. Yeah. So where is this Seaside? What town?
It's down in Brooklyn, kind of just on the other side, like the south side of Park Slope.
I recorded it in Brooklyn at Studio G, which is Tony Mamone
and
Joel Hamilton.
Recorded.
What's that?
Yeah.
That's why I did Hyphenated Man. And also the Big Walnuts Yonder proj with Nels Klein and Greg Saunier from Deerhoof, Nick Reinhardt.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I think that's the only time I've ever recorded it in Brooklyn, twice. Because there's a new Studio G, too. So there's two rooms.
Yeah.
I've done both. Really good guy. Tony Mamone. Big hero to me. And where was Dr. Wu's Brooklyn also?
Yeah, like over in Williamsburg.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's where Studio G is. Union and...
Yeah, it is.
I think Union Street and Metro or...
Yeah, well, the old one was for sure.
Yeah. And Tony lived upstairs. I conked upstairs from there.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a pioneer. He was there in the, you know, early 80s. He said it was a whole different thing in those times. I remember us and Black Flag played something called the Brooklyn Zoo. It was the only time before the 2000s that we would play Brooklyn. It was just completely different. Completely different.
Oh, yeah.
And it's interesting how things change like that. So you did those places... So, you went in more, it wasn't just one big session then, of course, two different studios.
I feel like it was spread out between a few days. We've always recorded locally in Brooklyn, and before that, we worked with Bryce Goggin at Trout Recording, which was amazing. We love him. That last, everything's been, like, local in Brooklyn, and right now... We're working on booking dates with Jay Robbins, so...
Oh, wow, my friends in light. Is that the Jawbreaker guy, or?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And he's in Baltimore, I think the studio is, right?
Yeah, Baltimore. So it'll be our first time traveling to record, so we're really excited about that.
I remember the first time I played, it was a pad called the Marble Bar, man. Very rough. Very rough. Oh, my God. That was intense. But, you know, Edgar Allan Poe, John Waters had to play there.
Yeah, exactly.
And then also, I tell you, Baby Leg, there was two of them. They were called Otto Bar, and that's where I met him. So I'm going to play In Color, okay?
Okay, cool.
Now, why is it spelled the England way?
Oh, it's funny. JR just, like, one day was like, the English way, right? And I was like, yeah, sure. And it just kind of stuck.
Okay.
Right out before you start.
Wattrapedra Show. Yeah, that was In Color with the England spelling. It's not flower. It's color. In Color.
Yeah.
And then Emperor's Ice Cream from Brighton, England with Tess Case, Patrick Grant, Shapes Number One, and finally from Baltimore, Mold Omen with Which State A1. And trippy band. Been playing a lot of their stuff like that. So, what is the plan that's coming up? Like, you're working on it? Are you writing the songs? And you're planning to go in with Jay?
Yeah, the songs we're doing with Jay have been done. We've been playing those live for, the last, little tour we did. And then we're also working on writing for, a full length, too.
Oh, okay. And you're going to do it with him? Okay.
The stuff we're doing with him is stuff that's done right now.
It is done. Kind of taking it. Okay. Sorry for getting screwed up, mixed up my mind. I didn't mean that. So when you guys tour, like you said, one version had stand-up bass.
Yeah, but that was just maybe the first little.
That is, you guys were just still trying to find your feet. You were still using her name.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And now
it's a trio. It's me and Rachel and a wonderful drummer named Rosie Slater.
Rosie Slater, yeah, we've got to give some credit. How did you find her?
Yeah.
How did you find her?
She had toured and played drums for me in a band that I was in when I was a teenager, so I kind of just knew her through the scene.
Oh, you were in a teenage band. JR.
Yeah, this band's super cute, which I did for four or five years, I think. And she had been a touring musician for us for that for a little while.
Okay, so that's
and I loved working with her, and she was just so talented, so sweet, and is able to do the wooing stuff with us too.
And how do you tour a van?
Our first tour, we lucked out and got to be on a bus with the headliner, which was amazing and hilarious that was our first time touring together, and it was very plush and fun.
What band?
That was with San Cisco. They're from Australia, and we did a West Coast run with them last year, and they're really sweet. I've known the drummer, Scarlett Stevens, since we were kids. We both grew up knowing each other in New York and being little girl drummers.
A lot of lady drummers in your music life.
Yes.
Start with Janet Weiss. Yeah.
Yes.
No, that's a great thing, man. That's a really great thing. You know, one mistake with the Minutemen, we should have never had George Hurley in the back there, man. You know, nowadays I always have my drummers at the front of the stage. It's rhythm music, where it's such denial to put the drummer in the back and try to hide her or hide him. And these jokes about them being stupid and shit. You know, I just hate it. Because it's all rhythm music. You know, even little melody lines on our necks of our guitars and basses, they're done in rhythms. You know, little drumstick fingers. I don't know. It really pisses me off, this weird kind of thing. So, Mars Sisters into the drums, I'm into it.
Yeah.
Who was that lady who sang their brother played keyboards? Carpenters.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Great drummer.
Right, right. And great lady bass players, too, like Carol Kay. I don't know if you're aware of her.
The best.
Yeah. I mean, tear it up. That's my solution to the fucking soul pollution of laying out on drummers and making them have to be like some kind of fucking sack of shit you have to carry around. They're the fucking heart. In my book.
Really makes a band, you know.
There's nothing like it, right? Like, even thinking about those Dan records, you know, Royal Scam is all Bernard Purdy. Oh, my God.
Sure.
He made a trippy record in New York for Casablanca, that Kiss Donna Summer label. And with the Last Poets, it's the most trippy thing. One side of it's all this opera called Be Yonder, where, like, the djinn makes them, like, Sir Mannequin robot wannabe god that, you know, of course, gets all burned up and everything. I think the last line of it is, the last thing you heard was the trumpet blast or some shit. But it's so wild because the guy who played bass and guitar, they only knew him as Man. And after the session was done, they never saw him again. It's some great, tight, funky playing because, you know, usually Last Poets is just a conga. But this was a whole band, you know, bass, guitar, drums. Bernard Purdy, yeah. So, don't mean to get off on the drum tangent, but you inspired me there, Rachel. Look, we're at the end of the second hour, December 17th, 2018, Dishwap Beatles Show. Special guest, Wooing. Hold tight for hour three. December 17th, 2018, it's the third hour of the Wap for Pedro Show. Watch for Pedro show start off the third hour with Tear World by Woolen. Some commentary, Rachel, JR.
Yeah, so that song was inspired by the documentary Blackfish, which is about all the horrors that happen at SeaWorld and how they run their business and just steal and kidnap orcas and torture them, basically. So
the big
I saw that on.
Yeah, you know, one time, I think it was in Vancouver, but there was this marine aquarium, and they had windows, and man, going down there and see these guys in giant bathtubs, I'm so sad.
Yeah.
And their eye would come up to the window, and I swear it looked like tears.
Yeah.
Now that you told me the connect, wow. Thank you for the compassion.
Yes.
Those poor babies.
So one of the lyrics is like, I can't hear your frequencies, because they basically capture them from different parts of the oceans and they can't even communicate with each other.
Right,
so it's
right.
Like being locked a prison with someone. Yeah, it's so sad. So that's what the song's about.
Fuck, this one had a beluga in it with it. And you know, belugas, they look like Casper the Friendly Ghost. They're always smiling. But you know this guy was not happy.
Yeah.
Then we have, yeah, you know what? I think people are turning against them things. We had something here when I first came to San Pedro called Marine Land, and it shut down.
Yeah.
I think the big one is SeaWorld in San Diego, and there's some in Florida, right? Yeah.
Yeah, there's some in Texas still, too.
Okay, terrible. Tollum with Truth Proved, the Bad Plus with Joshua Redman doing As the Moment Slips Away. David Nusselhoff with Celeste, and finally Rachel Taylor Brown with Stagfield. I think she's in Portland, Oregon there. She was on the show the other month ago. So your plan now is to work on long play?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right, to work on a record. I mean, we've got a lot of stuff that we want to record. A lot of things I think we want to say.
Right, right.
Style always, you know, I mean, if it's good, or for us anyway, I think we get bored doing the same thing. So we've got some different sounding shit.
So it's going to be different. Yeah, it's going to be different than the EP.
A little bit. It's evolving. Like, we're gonna add some bass to stuff, which is totally new for us. And I like that we've kind of waited this long to, like, start exploring that. And a little more harmonies, just kind of built up in a different way.
You know, I want to play something live here. Yeah. Actually, it was your recommend. Checkerboard Kids, Public Access.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think it's going to be the song called Rat.
Yeah, Rat.
Cool. Yeah, so that's from a while ago that we were on that show.
What is the show?
It's a public access show that my friend Checkerboard Phil has, and he'll have just like different live bands play on the public access TV station up on the.
Oh, it's not for kids.
No, that's just his stage name.
Okay, because you know there's something in DC called Pancake, some kind of and you need to get the guy bands play with little kids and shit. Okay, I was confused. Okay, let's listen to Rats.
They will learn. face in a dream. You accused me and screamed. Though it was a public place, nothing could hold your anger back. You had turned old, your eyes had a different size. There was a woman beside you looking just like a killing machine. Never wanted to hurt you, sorry I had to leave you. I wish time had been kinder to you. I wish you were my friend. And I bought you a letter once that you never got. I wanted to give you time. Started trembling. Someone said we better go. Then we missed the train. Then I fell in a hole. Oh, I wish you could have been there. You would have helped me out. We were all in the same boat. And don't ask me why. Never wanted to hurt you. Sorry I had to leave. I wish time had been kinder to you. I wish you were my friend. And I brought you a letter once that you never got. I wanted to give you time to be
just plain vultures. The fears your body rules are not just sketches by words of God breaking through the fences. Keeping a distance, as long as the work, even men or women, just plain vultures. Just plain vultures.
Time is all the time that I time is all the time that I need. Time is all the time that I
Why for Pedro Show?
Yeah, the last music for this edition. We had the Rats from Checkerboard Kids Public Access. That's Woolwood. Then from Australia, the Drunk Mums with Kidnap. Chaz Bundick meets the Matson 2 with JBS. Julie Slick. So that's a great bass player there. I think she's playing with Todd Rundgren right now. Petra turned me on to her. Sky Park. Junferno out of Spain with Your Face. Also out of Spain, Parajo. Pajaro. What am I saying, Parajo? Pajaro. Bird. Sunrise. Gorgeous. Georgina. Fuck. Come on, Watt. Get together. And finally, Gecko Turner. Yeah, all three of these guys. There's a great label there called Love Monk Records. There's something about Spain and 60s garage. They love it, man. I had a Leighton Kozumi from the Morlocks on a couple weeks ago. And he does a lot of Italy, too, and Greece. But especially Spain and Portugal. He says the garage thing is really happening and strong.
No idea.
Yeah, yeah.
Who
are those guys? Thunderbird, Trashman. Like, they'll go over there and it's like a big, huge fucking dealio festival, like garage. Yeah. And all kinds of stuff like that. It's interesting how they're into stuff like that. You know, for me, music's music.
I wonder.
You know, I went through all the ideas about giving labels to everything, and I said, fuck this shit. Bag it. Music is music, right? I mean, you know, there's funny fake names and funny costumes, but when you come down to it, music is rhythm, notes, and some words, hopefully a lot of passion. Who inspires you these days, both you guys?
I like Stravinsky a lot and Van Dyke Parks a lot. And I like Can.
Wow, I got to meet Van Dyke's Park at some benefit. He's a charming man.
He's brilliant.
Charming man. I love the guy. And Stravinsky.
Yeah.
One time, the first Banyan record, Perks Band, Nels, myself, and Money Mark Nishida. The Dust Brothers, right? Guys in Silver Lake. Get this idea, we'll put you each in this room of this pad so you don't see each other, but you got headphones, and we'll play The Rites of Spring, and you just jam to it. And when it comes time to no one will hear the Stravinsky, but it's like we were like kind of, you know, it had like this, right, this the pagan kind of flute part, then the sewing machines. Yeah. Oh, man. But that's not a bad guy to pick his fucking inspiration, because incredible emotional thing, Igor Stravinsky. What about you, Rachel?
Yeah.
I love Led Zeppelin, and I go through my phases, and I'm in one right now. I also love the Breeders. They're a big inspiration for me for wooing. And also this band True Dreams. They're local out of New York. It's like a duo girl punk thing. They're incredible. I'm friends with them. And I went to see them to play the other night, and they're just always so inspiring.
Do you like Robert Plant singing?
Yeah. I haven't really got much into his, like, more recent stuff. I know he's...
No, but from the Led Zeppelin days.
Yeah.
He gives a lot of credit.
And that's the way, and, like, some of, like, the slower stuff, I just feel like it's so emotional.
Well, the third album?
Yeah.
Yeah. He gives a lot of credit to a guy named Steve Marriott. Do you guys know about him? He played Oliver as like a 9-year-old or shit, but he had a band called the Small Faces.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And then after that, he kind of stole Pete Frampton's band, Humble Pie.
Sure.
And that high voice, especially in those days when the sound systems weren't that good, these guys could cut through. That little Steve Marriott, I mean, he must have been 5 foot tall, and just his voice. They would do boogie, right, blues kind of stuff, mm-hmm. heavy. After Small Faces was more like kind of psychedelic. go to YouTube.com and this cover of I Don't Need No Doctor. You got to see this little guy, his voice and his playing, and just such a hard charger. So, and I thought that was very righteous of Robert Plant to acknowledge, you know, especially when Jimmy kind of lifted a lot of the licks. I think they had to pay Willie Dixon for some borrowing. Anyway, I don't mean to dominate. I was just curious about you guys' influences. What about this? People younger than you want advice about, you know, the musical journey.
Oh, boy. Rachel, go.
Yeah. Well, I just turned 25, and I've been playing music since I was 6. And I feel like my advice would just be don't give up on it. And I recently, like, heard someone just in a meeting just be like, the best thing is just to never give up on something and just continue with it. Like, my worst mistake in business or whatever is giving up on something, a project.
That's great advice. That's really good advice.
It's like, even if you go through phases, I'll go through phases of not wanting to listen to music or play or even think about it for months if I'm just not in the right headspace, but
sure.
It's good to always go back to it no matter what and know that it'll always be there for you. So...
JR, kind of I think that's real good, Rachel. JR?
I would just say that, what what's always been rewarding for me as a musician is finding things that kind of irritated me the first time I heard them. Like, a lot of music that I love now was a little strange to me the first time, but there was a kind of like an annoyance or something about it that made me want to... like to scratch an itch or something.
And so you're telling me your advice is don't be fooled by the first time you hear something. Give it another chance.
That's right. And if something is,
I think that's good. I think that's really good too. That's really good because you know a lot of our gut reaction is built. It's kind of conditioning.
Yeah.
So who knows who's fucking? Remember Glenn or Glenda? I think it's Bela Lugosi, right? Pull the strings. Look, it's been great having you both on. I wish you all the luck in the world. How do people find you on the internet?
Oh, we're on everything. We're on Instagram as Wooing Band, same with Twitter and Facebook, and then you can listen to us on Spotify and Apple Music.
But you don't have your own website?
We have our own website, and it's wooingband.com. Yeah.
That's W-O-O-I-N-G-B-N. AND.com.
Yes.
Rachel, JR, thank you so much for being on the show. Really, safe seas, and I hope lots of good stuff come. Please let me hear the new album when you get it done.
We'll send it to you, and it was an honor talking to you.
All right. Well, thank you. You're most kind. It's been December 17, 2018 edition of Wap Pedro Show, my last one as a 60-year-old. Keep your powder dry.